Welcome back. You are listening to WJRH 104.9 FM Lafayette College Radio, Easton, Pennsylvania. And this is Mocha Gumbo. And I'm Kevin.
And I'm James.
I was really waiting for the... do you remember like 2 weeks ago we were doing the intro and you pulled a...
I forgot where I was and my name and my purpose in life, and I found two of those. So
things are going well. I gotta again adjust our. Oh no, we're actually doing fairly well.
This song was a lot more aggressive than I thought we would start the show with.
Well, it's very deceptive because it starts off and you think it's Annie, and then it goes into trap music.
Mm. Classic.
Cue us up with that coffee table jazz. We'll bring it down a notch.
Of course.
So, since we last had a show, did we have a show? I think it's this is our first consecutive.
Yeah, it actually is. Oh man, this is a milestone. I'm ready whenever you are, by the way.
So, all right, go for it. Couple developments. One of them being, I don't know if I want to bring up. Are we on? Are you good?
Yeah, we should be. Fine.
I don't know if I want to bring up our new president-elect.
There we go.
I feel like that'll derail us real quick.
I mean, we could. Yeah,
the most I'm willing to do is parody it because I don't. I don't want to call it hysteria. I don't you know if you can qualify it as hysteria, mm-hmm. but I was walking past that Civil War monument memorial.
Yeah,
it's the one that like overlooks Easton,
mm-hmm.
and there's a bunch of those signs. It's hashtag not my president, which for all intents and purposes. It is, but
yeah.
He is, but I mean, you know, pending
spiritually.
Yeah, you know. But you know, I don't really, honestly, and I'm not just playing. I'm not the guy who doesn't pick a side right now. Usually, I am that guy. I'm like the most scapegoat. I'll just take whatever. I'm like, yeah, okay, that's what I think too.
Mm-hmm.
Both sides have valid points, but
I really don't have an opinion.
Okay, that's
as of yet, I don't know what to. I was reading my biggest trouble with coming to a conclusion as far as should I be freaking out, which no I shouldn't be. I'm more on the side of it's a bit of hysteria, is the election cycle in relation to reporting. So reporting, and not necessarily in defaming or defacing Donald Trump, but the reporting in this election cycle was at the very least, part for the course of a poor or a misinterpretation of polling data, or at least a misinterpretation in the northeastern part of the country of expected election results. Well, being, you know, there was a demonization of both candidates, but a rather extreme one of Donald Trump, which led a lot of us to believe that not going to be president or not going to be president-elect. But obviously that was extremely wrong. And someone brought up the idea of the silent majority, which is a bit poetic. Actually, it might have been my dad. That wound up being true. So more than anything, I didn't think this was the backlash, at least the Democratic/liberal backlash, has been due in large part to not demystification, not a loss of, or like the death of whatever, our perception and our ideals of the climate of progress. So okay. a lot of people thought that, this election is clearly bad progressively, in progressive terms.
Mm.
But I thought more so the people being so distraught was due more to the fact that not necessarily due solely to the president-elect, but what underlies that logic, which is that a large plurality, if not the exact majority of the country, voted for someone who, to many voters, his public appeal and his, what you know, they're calling it very blatant racism xenophobia. To a lot of voters, they were able to push that to the side and get on the Trump train because of his economic, fiscal, and national security promises. So to our portion of the country, which is largely liberal and democratic, this was a wake-up call, because we assumed that his character alone would undermine his candidacy, but it's obviously more so showing not just that the president-elect can undermine a country, which is not what I'm saying, mm-hmm. more so that there is a large portion of the country that we did not perceive and perhaps did not voice in this election cycle as being so distraught over the current state of affairs that they would elect Donald Trump. So I think that was more the fear, not the candidate himself. Really, and I know that's wild to say, but
I'm seeing it. Are you talking about the current fear and the current hysteria we're seeing right now?
Yeah, and I'm being very careful about it, because I don't feel like getting into a political discussion. That's why I'm evading and eluding all these words.
Absolutely. I just feel like it's because of the implications of what he may do in the future. You know, if you've seen or heard anything about what he's planning with his 100-day plan, he plans to sign the First Amendment something act,
First Amendment Defense Act? Is that what it's called?
Something like that. It's effectively Jim Crow Part 2, if you've read up on it.
I have read that, and this is why I don't want to talk about it.
Exactly. So we can get off of this topic, but I don't know. I think it's really interesting to think from a different perspective, because in my personal opinion, I feel like Trump rose to power, or not necessarily power, but
rose to power is an echo of something that
back in World War II.
There was a distraught Germany, but
I mean, if we can, I don't want to compare him to, you know, but
Louis C.K. did compare him.
Oh yeah, absolutely. He is feeding off of the fear of Americans who are not necessarily, because I don't want to use the word gullible, because these people aren't gullible. They're just like, people are afraid, and they have a right to be afraid of, you know, radical Islam and such. But the point is that very, very, very few people, very few Islamic people are that kind of, you know, yeah.
Right.
And it goes to show, you can take the Westboro Baptist Church, and not all Christians are like that.
Isn't that funny?
All right. You know who does, though? What? The guys who wear ghost costumes every day.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's... Right, it's getting a bit
no,
much.
No. I'm fine with it, because, look, I was tentatively... there. I hate this, too, by the way. There's
Because it monopolizes conversation. Everywhere you go,
it does.
It's this.
And it's... Well, it's fine. It's been 2 days since the general election, and since we've found out who our next president-elect is. And I get it, and I think it's healthy. It's fine to talk about it. But... on Facebook, you know, it's everyone giving their 2 cents.
Oh, Lord.
And I at first I was very annoyed, because it's been one day, and it's more so been the voicing of dissatisfaction, because many people clearly, myself included, did not give Trump a shot in hell.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
For
not.
Stealing the candidate for the presidency. But he did. So it was a majority of it was just an inundation of people saying, I'm not happy. And that was it. Mm-hmm. And I didn't need... It could be boiled down to, this is ridiculous, if that's what you wanted to say.
Mm-hmm.
But... I wanted to give my 2 cents, and that's why I think it's important. We don't necessarily have to have... As much as I like to have a certain amount of clarity, it's such a divisive and decisive moment. It was a very quick... an abrupt change in our perceived course, that I think it's all right to just throw words out there.
That's fair, yeah.
And I will withdraw them in the future, because there is not enough information. Mm-hmm. My current, and we can get into this, I don't mind it. We don't usually we just mess around for an hour.
Yeah.
But I don't mind, you know, giving it its due at least 10 minutes.
That's fair, yeah.
My spiel, and I was tentatively going to put it on Facebook, but I don't want to be that 45-year-old mother with 3 cats and a son who...
Well, that's
lives
what everyone
in,
is right now.
You know, in Minnesota. I don't want to be that person who's like, I have an opinion. But I do. But more so, my opinion, I only want to voice it not because I think the hysteria is unfounded. I do not think that it's unreasonable to be fearful in light of blatant if we took everything Donald Trump has said during this election cycle for face value, it is absolutely not at all a problem to be a little afraid.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the direct relationships drawn between Trump's character during the election cycle and Trump as president, and this is a tired argument, and you hear it a lot, and it's not the most solid, but you hear that the White House makes the man.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't necessarily think that's true. But what I do believe is that Donald Trump, I'm hoping, is not an idiot. He has a multi-million, if not billion, I have no idea, multi-million dollar international corporation. He doesn't just operate within the United States. Donald Trump is clearly a good businessman, and that was the argument that I would derail all the time during the election cycle. That businessman isn't a president. But my point is, Donald Trump cannot be the stupidest man alive. He cannot be the most socially progressive, reversed man in the world. He cannot be backwards, I imagine. He seems too educated, and he seems to have too much, not business or political, but life experience to be that blatantly ignorant.
He's like now, very old, my, isn't he?
Oldest president elect in U.S. history.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy, actually.
It is crazy. So my thinking was, Donald Trump, if anything, appealed to a not necessarily racist, xenophobic, or misogynist, I don't know, but he appealed to a fundamentally nationalist group of people. And I'm not saying Donald Trump supporters are stupid, but he used base, simple, and incisive language in order to stir the hearts of his voter base. Mm-hmm. As far as policy goes, when I've had conversations, and this is just me, that's why I'm just throwing these words out there. When I've had conversations in the past, and I don't blame them for it now, when I've had conversations in the past with Trump supporters, they didn't necessarily have any explicit policy point that they were fans of. Now, that is perhaps just my experience, and my experience, I'm a 20-something. The people I talk to aren't necessarily going to be politically astute.
Mm-hmm.
But my experience was that they liked the man. They didn't like his policy.
That's fair.
And they liked the nationalist. They didn't like his policy. So if Trump used this sort of base appeal, the idea being a simple advertisement is simply consumed, meaning the more simple I keep my argument, the more simply you'll accept it. That he was able to appeal to a hidden sense of nationalism, and my hope would be that that was a election strategy. And my greater hope would be that that does not translate into his conduct as a president. Moreover, I really don't believe necessarily that the vast majority of his supporters necessarily, vast majority, mind you, there are a lot of people, there are a lot of, the problem here is that Trump's base language opens the doors to as many voters as possible, which is necessary in an election cycle. However, that means a couple of stray dogs are going to creep into the voter base that aren't the face of the Trump candidacy. Most people, I hope, wanted a Trump presidency not for the sake of misogyny or xenophobia or sexism or just anti-social progress. A lot of them wanted fiscal responsibility and stability. They obviously wanted extremely smaller government. They wanted a stronger president who was more hardline when it came to a smaller government, because that's, if you look at his 100-day plan, half of those bullet points are about limiting the size of the federal government, and a one who is willing to open and loosen the constraints on a free market. So my hope here, and what I think is probably the truth, is that a lot of his supporters, the vast majority, wanted that and nothing else. Does that make it right that their vote, when they made this decision, they decided to overlook some of his incisive language and the little vignettes you saw on CNN where he was going off the wall and completely abandoning all social progress? No. But at least it's a little more comfortable than characterizing them as supporting him for those facts rather than, you know, not being for them, but not necessarily being against them in light of his other promises.
Absolutely.
And again, that is not to say I necessarily support him. I criticize all of my public figures. But I think at least that would serve to ease the conscience of a couple of people, if not completely, because nobody should be, in any case, completely satisfied whether it was Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump with their president-elect.
Yeah, absolutely. Going off your point a bit, the thing I've been seeing on Facebook a lot and, you know, other pervasive social media is the fact that because of what Donald Trump has said and done, you know, those xenophobic sexists, etc., those videos and those quotes from him and such, people are shoving all Trump supporters into this tiny, tiny box.
Yeah.
And they're all saying, you're terrible people for voting for him. You must hate all minorities, whether it be ethnically or sexually or et cetera, et cetera. And I have a friend who actually voted for Donald Trump, but not even because he supported Trump, but just because he wanted to avoid having Hillary in office. He agreed with some of Trump's policies.
Yeah, that's a good point as well.
And such. But he just did not trust Hillary, and he did not trust the fate of our country with her. And I can respect that. I mean, I personally tend to be more of a liberal person. I don't want to really get my views into the show or at all, really. It's
right. No,
something
that's fine.
That I don't like talking
it's
about.
It's going to slip out. It's, you know, absolutely, it's hard to have the conversations have to happen. You know, it's important for everyone around. Everyone voices their opinion so that others may glean a little confidence or a little security from it. So I don't care, you know. I could be Rush Limbaugh and you could be an NPR spokesman. Like, I don't care.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter to me as long as people are talking.
And then there's been a lot of controversy recently over the recent election, obviously, because this is, I believe, the fourth time a president has been elected without winning the popular vote. Hillary actually won by very, very
one
small percentage.
Point two,
maybe.
Yeah.
But people are still outraged by that, the idea that the people vote for the president. The people's voice should be the voice that is heard.
A direct election.
Absolutely. But the Electoral College actually decides that, and now there's people fuming over the Electoral College. I mean, this has happened before, but people are more upset now because our president is Donald Trump, or our president-elect, rather, is Donald Trump. And like you were saying, people are afraid that he's going to not only stunt the progress of, let's just say, issues such as, you know, gay marriage and pervasive Islamophobia, but that he may wind up taking them back a notch,
right,
if that makes sense. So I feel like that's really what people are getting at right now when they're trying to group his supporters and all of these people into. I just went from like a tangent to a tangent I was talking about before.
That's how we work.
I kind of blended them together, but it's just something I want to see die down. I mean, obviously you can. Now is the time to be talking about it.
Absolutely. And again, I don't blame anyone for doing any of that. It's perfectly rational.
But complaining right now, it is okay to be upset and just absolutely valid to be afraid, but constantly just hammering the point that we are all upset, we are all afraid, is not going to help anything. Instead, we should be going out, we should be not protesting. I think the protests are a very bad way to look at this. Like,
well, depending on the type of protest, the protest might not.
Well, there are
violent
protests, and then there are protests where people are outside of Trump Tower. Which,
as long as a protest serves some sort of productive end, I don't know if they are currently.
Well, there are protests and there are riots going on.
Right
now,
exactly. A very big difference between those two.
A bit much. But in that same vein, I think we should be working together to, I don't know, donate to charities that support your views for, you know, Planned Parenthood and of the like transgender awareness and such, and join groups to help these people out. But complaining about it and saying you're upset for these people without actively trying to help is, you know what I mean? That's just kind
of... Absolutely, yeah. Well,
you know.
What I... what I said prior to the election was that no matter who's elected, I was talking with my father, who, like, I can't get into it with him because he's way smarter than me, and he can go at it for hours. But this time, I sort of baited him. I'm like, all right, let's talk the election. And my thinking, you know, he was obviously talking about the merits of either candidate or who's going to be more of a burden to the country economically, in foreign affairs, domestically, socially.
Oh, foreign affairs, God.
So regardless, I had said, no matter who the president-elect becomes, no, I can't. There weren't many people during the primaries, especially, who were thrilled with their candidate. If we can backtrack to the primaries, a majority of people in both polls of the political spectrum were not satisfied, for good reason. So even within their parties, everyone came together solely to stop the other guy. Regardless, after the election, within party lines, outside of party lines, there was going to be an equal cynicism and disdain for whoever the president-elect were or was. I would further hope that disdain, which has been carried on the Republican Party, was not happy.
They are not happy.
In fury, everyone was hailing the death of the GOP because they called a political maverick, who was not really a political maverick whatsoever, was entering the party, and who had formerly considered himself a Democrat at points. Mm-hmm. Now, after the election's over, after they had stopped the other guy, that cynicism, that disdain, that discomfort, I would expect shouldn't have died down. And if the people and the media are the watchdogs of the executive or any branch of government, that heightened cynicism, that heightened perception, the higher sensitivity to the political underpinnings and goings on from day-to-day life should improve our prospects for the future, regardless of who the president-elect were. Mm-hmm. If it was Hillary Clinton, same deal. Donald Trump, same deal. So more so, I would hope, and again, this is more just to ease people's nerves, or to rally everyone. Admittedly, I'm a Republican.
Okay.
And I was never, nobody, I don't remember talking to any of my Republican friends who were necessarily thrilled. Of course, many of them rallied. Some of them, actually, probably an equal, half and half, maybe even less, rallied behind Donald Trump. But now that the election is over, and now that we have our president-elect, you can be a faithful Republican. But the moniker of Republican does not absolve you of your duty to criticize and analyze.
Mm-hmm.
Republicans should criticize, analyze, deconstruct Republican presidents or Republican Congress. It is not solely the job of your opponent to do the criticism for you. An inward criticism or an introspective analysis of the Republican Party and Republican bills, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Even Republican or Democrat, whoever had won the election, the cynicism should have been the same. So I would hope and I would urge many of my Republican friends, and I don't think the Democrats need any urging, to look at there is no longer, we should recognize, an extreme polarity in the Republican Party. Republicans are divided amongst themselves. And to that end, if you would like to rebuild your party, if you would like to maintain your party, and a lot of people I know, you know, yeah, I'm socially Democrat, socially liberal, fiscally conservative is like what are your political views? Yeah. That is the go-to. So for now that we have our Republican trifecta, you should be even more confident in your ability to criticize. And I would hope that you do. Because if you want to rebuild your party, you have to deconstruct it, look at how things went wrong and how your preferred candidates in the primaries fell apart, and make sure it doesn't happen again. you know, this is a good learning opportunity for the Republican Party. And I neglect the Democrats, but I do certainly do not discourage them from their criticisms mm-hmm. either. And I would hope, again, that overall feeling, that these feelings of anxiety and fear can be channeled into
progress.
Political reservation.
Oh, okay. That's
and right. And I don't expect any complete nationalism or rallying. If anything, we should be more disenchanted with our government now than ever and mm-hmm. use these feelings to correct it, which is, you know, supposed to be our job.
Oh,
and now
well,
that the
absolutely.
Election cycle's over, it continues even more so. All right.
I'd just like to end this election talk, which has been going on for 25 minutes now.
Really?
With... I believe that with the current state of the election, or, well, I mean, it's over, but in the aftermath, we have entered a golden age of memes, right? So, just the, I think, and I just want to...
I hate you, but go ahead.
I just want to, my favorite one that I saw, it was the polls, and it showed the popular vote and everything, and it was Hillary 48-some-odd%, Trump 48-some-odd%, and then Gary Johnson... coming in at 1.2% or something like that.
I know what you're gonna say.
And next to it was a picture of SpongeBob. In the one episode, he tries to get Gary to win a snail race, and he's yelling at him. And the caption is, "It's a race, Gary. A race.
You're blowing it, Gary. Blowing it."
I saw one. I can't resist.
So
I'll just give my two cents here. There was it showed the election map.
Mm.
And it was, you know, red and blue scattered everywhere. And just in all lowercase, the caption was, "Lol, Team Instinct hasn't got a single gym." I thought that was pretty good. All right, so we're going to move on. We'll come back with, you know, less election talk or completely abandon it. Who knows? We're now going to go to... I have a bunch of heavy, hardcore throwbacks.
All right, sure.
Aerosmith, Eric Johnson, Billy Joel. I think this is appropriate. So I'm going to play this. I'm not going to tell you what it is.
Oof.
No, it's We Didn't Start the Fire by Billy Joel. By FCC.
Oh, right. There we go.
Guidelines. We Didn't Start the Fire by Billy Joel. We'll be right back in a couple minutes. Stay tuned. We love you.
Seaman, Richard Nixon, back again. Moonshot, Woodstock, Watergate, punk rock, Bacon, Reagan, Palestine, terror on the airline, Ayatollahs in Iran, Russians in Afghanistan, Wheel of Fortune, Sally Ride, heavy metal, suicide, foreign debts, homeless vets, AIDS, crack, Bernie gets hypodermics on the shore, China's under martial law.
time, drinking wine, feeling fine, waiting here to find the sign that I can understand. Yes, I am. In the days between the hours, ivory towers, bloody flowers, push their heads into the air. I don't care if I ever know. There I go. Promises you gave from the grave of a broken heart. Every day I spend my time drinking wine, feeling fine, waiting here to find the sign that I can understand. Yes, I
Welcome back. You are still listening to WJRH 104.9 FM, Lafayette College Radio, Easton,
Pennsylvania.
I see your game.
I never get to do the intros. Well, I did last.
You did last week.
Week.
And I should have let you do the halfway intro. Oh, although it's technically not halfway.
I don't care very much. Don't worry.
I know you're dying on the inside, James. Don't lie to me.
I'm always dying on the inside, Kevin.
All right. So we left off talking about nothing. In particular,
we should probably get off of that.
I can't. Yeah, no, I'm done. I just needed my 10 minutes of proselytizing, but now I'm fine.
Prostate.
Okay. So next week we've got my favorite part of being at this school coming up, which is the rivalry. Is apparently how I say it, like a cowboy. Eric would not let me say rivalry without it's telling me I sound like a cowboy. I love the rivalry.
The rivalry is
I love it.
It's fun. It's.
I just like, historically, I like it. I just like being a part of it. And this is cool. We have yet to be here for a home game for the rivalry because we went to Lehigh last year.
The seniors haven't been here for home game.
Really?
Yeah. So 151 last year was at Lehigh.
Right.
The year before was Yankee Stadium, and the year before was Lehigh.
Why did really?
Yeah. So actually, no one who's a student on this campus, unless they went to a game, you know, because they had family here or because they wanted to go to a Lafayette football game, has ever been to a Lafayette Lehigh football game
juniors?
On campus. Juniors were, it was at Yankee Stadium, remember?
Oh, Yankee
for 150,
Stadium.
Yeah.
Oh.
Because that was a huge game.
So nobody on this, not a single class here has gone.
Not a single student, no.
Wow, that's really interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fun, because I was thinking, oh, you know, we're lame because I'm excited that it's at home, but nobody's seen it at home. That's cool. I really want to know how it works, because I was talking to Julian. So there's, what, 7,000 students at Lehigh? 5,000?
It's more than our college population.
I'm pretty sure it's quite a bit more. I want to say it's 7,000.
It actually might be. I can actually check. I have.
Yeah, that'd be good.
I have a wizard device.
A little magic box.
Oh.
We just closed that window.
It's the spirits again. I told them to step off. We only have 20 minutes
left.
You weren't
here for it, but I'm pretty sure there are spirits. One of these glass panes, in case, you know, for theater of the mind, there is a glass fluorescent light with a glass pane above me. It fell last year in the middle of a broadcast.
Really?
One that we didn't record. I wish we had. It just fell on top of me.
Oh.
Yeah. They're very light, but they are not
glass.
Plastic.
7,000 is the population, by the way.
7,000. So I would assume that they guarantee tickets for at least the student population.
I think you can assume they guarantee it for the population, but I don't think everyone's going to go. I would assume if...
Well, no, hear me out.
Yeah, okay.
If they guarantee tickets for the student population, they also said that they predict a sellout, because they predict a sellout every year.
Oh, absolutely, they do.
So if they guarantee at least 9,000 tickets, or 10,000 tickets...
Where do you put everyone?
Where do they go?
Yeah, not even for, like, in the stadium, because our football area is it's relatively small, but like the tailgates, just there's nowhere.
Well,
you can't go.
They're
anywhere.
Going on the quad. They're going on.
Are they actually going on the quad?
They're removing the dry campus policy or whatever it is from like 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. on the quad.
That is aggressive.
Yeah. So on the quad, you're going to be able to have open container for people who want to tailgate.
I'm talking more so like vehicles.
Parking. I don't even know.
Yeah, that's going to be a nightmare. What my friend has a flatbed truck, and what we're going to do is we're going to put a tarp inside of the bed, and then we're going to fill it with water.
There you go.
And then we're going to heat it up by some magical means, because I have friends who are mechanical engineers, so they know how to do that stuff.
Yeah, right.
And we're just gonna drive around in a hot tub. Hopefully.
That's completely lying right now.
That's the plan. No.
Are you serious?
Well, that's what we've envisioned for ourselves. The semantics.
But this isn't
an
actual plan yet.
Oh no, it is an actual plan.
What?
We're working out the semantics. Like it's happening next week. We just need the tarp. And a way to heat it without electrocuting ourselves.
And you think you can do that?
Absolutely, yeah. I've heard, so if you get a cast iron, like a stove or a grill or something, I think there's a way that you can wrap tubing around it such that it conducts the heat of the grill or whatever fire vessel.
Wow, this makes me want to become an engineer. That's awesome.
Yeah, and then you can just run the tube through the pool, and then it'll release the heat, or so it's something like
probably
that.
Probably highly illegal. I think you could.
Oh no, I don't think it's that illegal.
Putting a hot tub in the being in a hot tub in the bed of a truck.
Yeah, why would that be illegal?
Well, I'm pretty sure. I'm not sure if this is just a wives' tale, but I'm pretty sure it's not legal to ride in the bed of a truck in Jersey.
Like, oh, we're not in Jersey.
Well, you're
now.
Also not on major highways either.
Yeah, we'd just be. We'd
I mean, if you
very
go on like,
slow around.
Yeah,
campus.
If you go on 78,
just
hot like steaming water spilling out the back of your truck.
We'd also have to. We'd need somewhere to keep the grill, because you can't keep it in the.
Oh yeah, no.
Someone just hanging off the side with it. Yeah, the.
That's
what
brilliant.
Is probably gonna wind up happening is either we go somewhere and set up and it's hilarious, or we just do it in the Watson parking lot, because.
I would also. You should get one of those floating coolers.
That would be very cool.
That'd be nice.
We have to account for size and, you know, again, semantics. I don't know if any of this is actually possible, but it's a very fun idea we had.
Are you going to at least attempt?
Oh, absolutely. I think this is definitely something we want to try. And if we fail, we have senior year to do it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I would definitely. I would continue this if it doesn't work first time out.
That is one of my best ideas. Second to, I don't know if you know, I made a game called Hungry Hungry Hippos. Not the Hasbro game. Okay. I'm not the creator of that. That was
trademark.
You know. But I forget what I called it. It was, it involves alcohol and Jell-O.
I don't understand why alcohol. You're
Oh no, this isn't for me to play.
Oh okay.
No, it's a game for people who are older than
us. All right, totally.
So what you do is you have four teams, right?
Okay.
Two or three people, and you get a kiddie pool. All right.
I don't think we talked about this on air, but I want you to explain it to people because I think you might have talked to me about it.
I've talked to a lot of people about this. Right. So you fill it up with
your magnum opus.
It is. It's my greatest work.
All right.
This is the greatest idea I'll ever conceive in my life. So you fill it like an inch or so up with Jell-O that has alcohol in it.
Okay.
You know, probably vodka, probably. And then you section it off into quadrants.
Okay.
And one of the people on your team has to hold another person wheelbarrow style. You know, you got the legs under the arms, and the person who is the wheelbarrow just eats until they don't want to eat, and then you swap, and whoever finishes their area first wins.
Now, you would have to have large teams or really diluted Jell-O. Yeah.
So we were...
you could not have two thinking, people eating a quadrant kiddie pool of Jell-O shots.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's... Oh, we're not filling it the whole way up.
Uh-huh.
It's more... It's like...
Okay.
You know, that much. For anyone watching, I'm like, maybe an inch or two. But it would be very diluted because, you know, it's expensive stuff.
I don't know. Why wouldn't you do it with, like, individual little... And I'm not saying put, like, five shots.
Like little pools?
But just, no, like little isolated pockets of, instead of just filling the whole thing, why wouldn't you just put little things that people have to literally go and grab?
Oh, wait, yeah, wow. Actually, that's more in the spirit of Hungry Hungry Hippos, actually. Right.
Because I think that would make it a lot harder. There would be, like, a teamwork aspect. You would have to turn them and try to get them where they need to be.
Hmm. In that case, I mean, you could... How would you determine who ate the most, though?
You'd make them equal among all four quadrants.
Oh, so you're saying that... You eat okay, so you
like a measured amount of Jell-O, put in individual spots each quadrant, and
I thought you were talking about the whole pool is open to everyone, and then you just eat as much as you can, like actual Hungry Hungry Hippos.
Alternatively, you could have people like actual Hungry Hungry Hippos. They sort of all spill out.
Yes,
you could have people on the sidelines, like refs or just people overseeing the game, literally throw in at particular portions, you have a certain mass of Jell-O, and then just having them deliver it as the game goes on. That way they don't know where they have to go, and it just keeps coming.
Yeah, therein lies the, again, how do you know who ate the most?
Yeah, that's the problem. You would have to have, they would all have to be distributed simultaneously. So every time they want to add more quantity, more volume of Jell-O, they all do it at the same time.
Ah, that's fair. Okay.
Yeah, that was a good idea. That would be very fun.
Yeah,
it wouldn't be the kind of game, though, that you play casually. Like, nobody would be like, should we play Pong, or should we set up a kiddie pool and fill it with Jell-O?
This is that's a few day ordeal.
Yeah, no.
That, yeah, it's like Thunder Chug, but a bit less aggressive.
Yeah, and it's also...
See last week's episode for what Thunder Chug is.
Should have an app appendix so you can just refer. give time codes and everything. I like that a lot. I could see that thriving. Yeah, and more at events, at isolated events, rather than...
Yes, absolutely.
Just like, you got a couple buddies and a kiddie pool filled with Jell-O.
We've got 5 minutes, by the way.
Yeah, so really quick, it's 4 minutes on here. Next week is Rivalry, as we said, and I always like to play... I like to fill up the playlist. I like to fill up the playlist. I like to fill up the playlist with just a lot of, like, pump-up music. Mm-hmm. I like to make it just, like, an adrenaline-filled playlist. And I like to play more music than I do... spoken word and more variety, less talk.
Mm-hmm.
But so for anyone listening, we should have that coming to you.
Like a more music heavy episode?
A little more music heavy.
Yeah, I'd be down with that.
I think it's nice. I think especially, well, you have to understand, we have the Friday night.
Oh, yeah. We have prime time for it.
Yeah. So we're 4 to 5, and then after that, people are getting ready to go out and do whatever.
People are setting their alarms for 7 in the morning so they can start drinking.
Oh, man. It's wild. I just... all right. Yeah, but next week we will have that for you. We'll try to keep it music heavy. Some great pump-up classics. Probably put a couple of these in there, too. Some of these are really good adrenaline-filled songs. Other than that, that's all I had. And this... But I'm so excited. I love Rivalry Weekend. The weekend. I like the Friday before. We have, what's his name? Joe Madden. And I hope my father's listening because he was so proud that a Lafayette grad won for the Cubs. Joe Madden is coming here.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And throwing
it's
a party.
Be so fun.
Yeah. What is it called? Try Not to Suck Party?
Yep. Try Not to Suck.
that's really cool. I love that. That should be fun. I think that'd be cool. Just the fact that he's here, you know?
Yeah, it's pretty huge.
Isn't that weird? That's crazy. And I didn't know he was a Lafayette grad until my parents pointed it out. All right, we're coming up on 4:58. We got 2 minutes left. We might leave you with a song. But this has been Mocha Gumbo. Do you want to close this out, James?
Yeah, of course. You guys right now are listening to WJRH 104.9 FM Lafayette College Radio, Easton, Pennsylvania. This has been Mocha Gumbo. I'm James.
And I'm Kevin.
We'll see you guys next time.